for Thursday, August 26th. It's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, and for Isaac Davey Aronson, with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, we'll check in with Elsa Chang, who's following the trial of four Newburgh men on terror-related charges. And there's been another alleged bias attack, this time on a Muslim taxi driver. The morning's top headlines are just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
President Obama will deliver his second Oval Office address next Tuesday evening. Earlier that day, he'll mark the official end of U.S. combat operations in Iraq by visiting troops at Fort Bliss, Texas. The outcome of the Republican U.S. Senate race in Alaska will depend on several thousand absentee votes after yesterday's voting. Conservative lawyer Joe Miller, a Tea Party favorite, leads the incumbent Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski by nearly 1,500 votes. Long Island railroad service disruptions continue today as workers assess and repair the damage to a switching station in Monday's fire. The rush hour plan this morning cancels 33 westbound trains, with 75% of the usual 144 running. Expect residual delays, and the evening rush will be similarly affected, with Hempstead and Far Rockaway service leaving from Brooklyn's Atlantic Terminal only, not Penn Station. The Port Washington branch remains unaffected. Some taxi drivers are worried that the debate over a proposed Islamic cultural center in mosque is raising tensions and perhaps played a role in the stabbing Tuesday night of a Muslim driver. Veteran driver Ahmed Sharif was attacked by a passenger who struck up a conversation about the holiday of Ramadan. Bairavi Desai of the Taxi Workers Alliance says the atmosphere is making a driver's job even more dangerous than usual.
This is a debate saying that one group of New Yorkers, Muslims, are not as equal as other New Yorkers, non-Muslims. And we are one of the most publicly identified of a large Muslim workforce.
Desai is recommending that drivers not talk with passengers about politics or religion. That's what driver Harais Hussain has been doing.
The certain way they look at me. I mean, I have a beard, so, you know, they know who I am. They will look at me at times, like, in a weird way. It does hurt my heart that, you know, people don't try to understand.
Mayor Bloomberg denounced the attack and will host Ahmed Sharif, who survived the stabbing, at City Hall later today. 21-year-old suspect Michael Enright is being held without bail on charges of attempted murder and assault as a hate crime. Meanwhile, a coalition of civic and religious organizations and 9/11 victims' families rallied near City Hall yesterday in support of Park 51, the planned Islamic cultural center and mosque from near Ground Zero. Coalition member Donna O'Connor said opposition to the project is part of a frightening nationwide trend.
We've already seen across the country anti-Muslim violence, rallies, protests against mosques. So this is not just a protest against the ground at Ground Zero.
O'Connor lost her pregnant daughter in the 9/11 attacks. The coalition called New York Neighbors for American Values includes the Interfaith Center of New York, the ACLU, and the League of Women Voters. They plan a candlelight vigil near the World Trade Center site on September 10th. Banks could face fines of $100 a day for allowing foreclosed and vacant properties to deteriorate, under a state law proposed today by a group of city lawmakers. Under the measure, banks would be responsible for housing violations issued while the properties are in their possession. Since April, banks have been required by state law to maintain foreclosed properties that they own. Lawmakers say deteriorating buildings bring down property values. South Bronx resident Gail Gadsden says the problem is more serious than that. Deteriorating buildings in her neighborhood attract drug dealers, the homeless, and youths looking for trouble.
I have a son that's 11, and I worry about sending him to the store, you know, because just praying that he'll make it home safe, because these people sleep and reside in these abandoned buildings.
In the meantime, there's also a new proposal in the city council that would require lenders to register with the city when they begin foreclosure proceedings on a home. That's intended to make it easier to identify those banks that don't comply with the law. Finally, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says a clerical error that appears to have cost the state a $400 million federal education reform grant was corrected for a review panel this month, But Christie says the error was still counted as a strike against the state's application. Scoring documents from the Race to the Top grant competition show New Jersey received no points on one section because the state provided budget figures for 2010 and 11, while the application asked for numbers from 2008 and 9. Christie says the panel appeared more interested with technical details than the educational proposals. New York won nearly $700 million in the competition. Taking a look at today's calendar. All eyes are on the Labor Department when it releases weekly new jobless claims this morning. Last week's unexpectedly high 500,000 sent a jolt through the stock market, and the National Association of Realtors releases their commercial real estate forecast. And on the eve of the 47th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, African-American clergy denounce what they say is a right-wing misinformation campaign about reproductive health care in black communities. Just some of what's happening this Thursday. Did the U.S. government neutralize a real terrorist threat, or did it find poor, unsophisticated people and push along a plot created by the FBI? That's the central question as the trial of four Newburg men accused of trying to blow up Bronx synagogues and shoot down military planes heads into its third day. WNYC's Elsa Chang reports.
FBI agent Robert Fuller, the prosecution's first witness, testified the defendants were all too willing to scout out targets and rehearse how to use military weapons. But defense lawyers wanted to make a few things clear on cross-examination. Fuller bought the defendants' cell phones, cameras, and a gun. He provided them with cars, three fake bombs, and two fake heat-seeking Stinger missiles. And he supplied them with money for rent and groceries. That was the key, says Alicia McWilliams. She's the aunt of defendant David Williams.
When you have ex-offenders coming home and people don't have jobs, money plays a factor in our community. And the government should be ashamed.
These defendants, who had criminal records and no jobs, were allegedly promised thousands of dollars more and even a BMW if they went along with the plan. For WNYC, I'm Elsa Chang.
And we'll wrap it up with today's Gig Alert.
Low polo, supreme in Uniqlo, real clean, driving up Halsey, past Bedford, Nostrand, Marcy, she's so mean, her steed so bossy, you already know how Brooklyn girls...
Underground Brooklyn rapper Fresh Daily gets back to his roots with this hip-hop love ballad set in Bedford-Stuyvesant. The MC, graphic designer, and frequent hip-hop collaborator performs tonight at Littlefield in Gowanus, Brooklyn. You can download this track for free on our Culture page. Just click on Culture at WNYC.org. And you can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in-depth with our Reporters on the News blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Thursday.
Can't duplicate the pattern that you designed for. Built for all the activities I'm inclined for. What you think that I'm investing all this time for? Yeah, it gotta be something I mean to impress this impressor instead of queen on Franklin between Lexington.